Take your Bible tonight, and I want you to turn to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings, this is lesson number 29 in our series on helping people. There are a lot of concepts and principles that I like to teach. What I'm going to teach tonight, I really enjoy reminding people of the importance of this truth. The sermon tonight is called Helping People by Controlling Your Improper Judgment. Helping People by Controlling Your Improper Judgment. 1 Kings chapter 22, I want you to find verse number 1. Once you've found it, I want you to stand with me. 1 Kings chapter 22, we're going to start reading at verse number 1. We're going to read through verse number 8. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says this, it says, "And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye not that Ramoth-Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria? And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth-Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, Shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord beside, that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, Let not the king say so. And let's pray. Father, bless us with thy presence. Make the lesson, though repetitive in its nature, make it clear, and might it lodge in our thinking tonight. Help us not just to glance at this truth, but help us to make it a part of us. Help us to remember it and to live it, obey it for the rest of our lives, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I want to tell you a very quick story, and then we'll get into the scripture here a little bit. I had gone to preach. Very rarely do I ever find myself, when I'm out preaching across the country, staying at someone's home. But it just happened to be that the church I was preaching at was way, way out in the middle of nowhere. There was no hotel room for me to stay, and some people had a home, and they had an apartment there at their home where I stayed while I was preaching for them. And the bad part about it was I could hear what they were saying. I tried not to hear what they were saying, but I was over in my part of the house and they were in theirs. We were getting ready for church, and to be honest, they were very, very negative about a particular person. They called out the person's name, and I thought, oh, I don't want to hear this. And I stuck my fingers in my ear, and when I thought it had calmed down, I took my fingers out, and then they said something negative about them, and then something critical about them. And then they talked about their dislike for this person, and I mean just on and on and on. Well, I had never met this person about whom they were being so critical. And when I got to church, my human nature got involved, and I got to thinking when we were walking across the parking lot, I said, I wonder when we're going to see this jerk. I mean, this person, I'll tell you, that stinky attitude, and this bad person, and this rude person, and this curt person, and this unkind person. We went to the church, and I have a book table that I set up, and I was standing at the back of the church, had my book table set up, and the people were circulating around and fellowshipping and shaking hands, and I was just kind of watching, because I just knew this person would be carrying a baseball bat, going around, bashing people's heads in, and cussing in church, and all sorts of stuff. And I kept looking, and I thought, well, that person over there, they're kind of cold, and that person right over there, they look like maybe they could be a mean person. And some people came back and shook my hands, and I noticed some people, though, that were extremely friendly and kind and going around talking to people, and people liked them, and I thought, that's not them, but where is that one? There is this one here that is just such a bad, bad person. Well, come to find out that finally someone came up and introduced himself to me, and it was that name. But the bad part about it was this person was just as kind and gentle and giving and steady as a person you could meet. Matter of fact, really, they may have been the most outgoing, friendly, kind, genuine person in the whole crowd. Now, I want you to hear me out as I teach you something tonight. So often, our judgment of people is tainted and it's unfair. We judge a person many times not based on what they are, but based on what they are to us. There's a story here that we just read. Jehoshaphat and Micaiah are the two that are involved in it. For 3 years, there had been a war between Israel and Syria. Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. Ahab was the king of Israel. These two were combining forces to try to conquer their enemy, Syria, in a city called Ramoth of Gilead. Jehoshaphat told Ahab, he said, "Now, before we join forces to go fight the Syrians, I want you to seek counsel of God's men in regard to going to war." Well, Ahab had 400 prophets that were kind of state prophets, if you will. And they asked these prophets, should we go to war? And the prophet said, go to war. Well, Jehoshaphat said, don't you have a real man of God around here? That's really what he asked. He said, don't you have a real man of God so we could ask about going to war? And Ahab said, and listen, in 1 Kings 22:8, it says, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. So Ahab said, I really need to talk to a real man of God about this thing. And so now Jehoshaphat said, okay, yeah, there's this one guy. There's one man. He's a man of God, and we can ask him what the Lord would have us to do. Listen to what he says now. He says in chapter 22, verse 8, he says, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire the Lord, but I hate him. For he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. And I don't know if there's a little cynicism there or what's going on, but Ahab said, I'm a shark. This preacher's on your case a little bit. But notice what he said. He said, there's this one preacher, but I hate him. I hate him. He does not prophesy good concerning me. 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 Where you and I get into trouble is we develop our attitude toward other people based on me, you, myself. There is Ahab is given a terrible, Ahab gives Jehoshaphat a terrible impression of Micaiah. He said, I hate him, and he doesn't like me. Ahab's reasoning for hating Micaiah and for his negative attitude was all about Ahab and what Ahab was. I looked throughout the scripture. I studied around this passage, and you can find no one else that felt negatively about Micaiah. Nobody else felt that way about him. Not Elijah, not Elisha. Ahab's judgment was based basically on Ahab. I call it self-centered judgment. He had allowed himself to become the focal point that produced his opinion of what somebody else was. Let me read a verse to you. Matthew 16:24 says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Hey, every Christian in here, you need to learn how to deny yourself. Learn how to deny yourself. In other words, don't put yourself first. Put Jesus first. Put others first. But don't put yourself first. Matthew 16:25 says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall save it." In other words, God's saying, stop worrying about yourself. Don't allow your opinions about everybody to rotate around you. Be careful that you don't go around judging other people on your opinion, because your opinion might not be the whole story. You see, we're so self-centered, we make most of our decisions and conclusions about other people on the basis of ourselves. Did you know you might be wrong about someone? We can help people if we do not pass judgment on them on our opinion and our opinion only. Let me show you. I'm going to take this truth and I'm going to teach it. I'm going to use about 5 or 6 approaches to the very same thing. And you'll begin to see its rhythm here in a moment. But let me show you what I mean. We judge people. We judge whether a person is good or bad based on how they treat us. Does that person possess goodness or badness in their life? But we decide that based on how they treat us. If they treat you good and everybody else bad, then you say they're good people. You see, you're self-centered in your judgment of that person. You have become the focal point. You have become the springboard on which the determination has been made of whether they're good or bad. So someone goes out of their way to be good to you, or they go out of their way to be good to your family, but they treat everybody else badly, but you think they're good folks. Isn't that a little odd? Now, if they treat you bad and everybody else good, then they're bad folks. We make a decision about someone's goodness or someone's badness, if that's a word, based on me. How do they treat me? If they're good to me, they're good people. If they're bad to me, they're bad people. If they're good to me and bad to everybody else, they're good people. If they're bad to me and good to everybody else, they're bad people. Now, folks, that is not right. Romans 2:10 says, "But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile." I think we're supposed to be good to everybody. But let me tell you something. We too many times make a judgment about someone based on ourselves. And that's an unfair thing. You remember the story I told you at the beginning of my sermon. I stayed in a home. I could hear them just tearing to shreds someone in the church. I wish I wouldn't have heard it. When I got to church, I was looking everywhere for this crude, nasty, rude, just mean person. Once I met the person, they were not crude. They were not rude. They were not nasty. Nobody had a bad opinion toward them. Nobody felt that way except for that one person. Now, it would have been totally unfair for me as a guest to decide to believe what that one person said, because that one person had made their decision based on themselves. So, we make a mistake. We judge a person's goodness or badness based on how they treat us, because we make ourselves most important in life. Let me go on. Secondly, we judge someone's hatefulness or their love based on how they treat us. If they love you and hate everybody else, you say, they're such a loving person. That's called self-centered judgment. You have become the focal point of your life. And by the way, you are determining what they are based on how they treated you. But you are not the most important thing on the face of the earth. But we let it be all about us. So if they tell you that they love you and express it often, but their hateful to others, you just feel like they're very lovey-dovey, good, God-loving people. Our judgment is improper. Now, if they're hateful to you and loving to everybody else, they've got to be a hateful people because of the way they treat you. Again, it's that self-centered judgment. You let yourself become the focal point. So they've been hateful towards you, but they love the preacher, and they love other families, and they love their friends, and they love other people in the church, but you say, not there, they're hateful people. Why? Because of the way they treated you. Now, Galatians 5:14 says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We're supposed to love everybody. Nowhere in what I'm teaching tonight am I justifying someone being hateful. Nowhere in what I'm teaching tonight am I justifying someone being bad. But I am telling you this, if they're good to you and bad to everybody else and you've decided they're a good person, or if they're bad to you and good to everybody else and you've decided they're a bad person, you got a problem, because what happens to you is the most important thing on the face of the earth, and you're willing to trash somebody else's reputation based on one event, possibly, toward you, and so they're bad to everybody, and that's not fair. That's not the right way to treat people. Folks, we could help people if we would not use an unjust form of judgment about what people are. We could help people if we were not improperly judging them. And you say, well, what's most apt to make me improperly judge them? On how they affect you. On how they affect you. Thirdly, you judge someone's generosity or stinginess based on how they treat you. If they're generous to you and stingy to everyone else, you know what you think? These are giving, generous people. Why? Because they gave to your most important charity. You. That's self-centered judgment. You have become the focal point, and that's not fair when you're letting what someone did for you determine what kind of public reputation they ought to have in front of everybody. It's not fair. So they give you a gift, but they don't give to anybody else. You say they're just generous and giving, and all this is just so good. Or they're stingy to you, but they're generous with everyone else. So your opinion is, that's a stingy person. They're just stingy, stingy, stingy. You're the only one that didn't get anything. But because you are the most important person in your life, and you getting things is more important than everybody else getting things, this is a bad person, because they're not giving things to you. Self-centered judgment. You allow yourself to become the focal point. So, they're known around the church for being generous and givers, and they're always giving, but they bypass you, and you just think there's something wrong with them. The Bible says in Luke 6:38, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure you meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. Now, I think all of us, I think we ought to be givers, I think we ought to be generous. But let me tell you, if there's someone that's generous and they bypass you, you don't need to attack their character, and you don't need to write them off as that they're not generous people. That's not fair. That's just not fair. And I think we're supposed to love everybody. But you know, if you find someone that tended to be expressing love more to everybody else, but you didn't see that love toward you, so you just think they're a hateful person, that's just not fair, and that's just not right. You take somebody that loves 99 people in the church, but for some reason didn't express it toward you, and you think they're hateful. I'm sorry, the percentages are not in your attitude or in your opinion's favor. Well, we are to be good to people, and the Bible teaches we're to be good. But if they're good to everybody else, but somehow it didn't seem like they were good to you, that does not mean they're a bad person. And just because they were good to you and mean to everybody else, and you want everybody to accept the fact that they're good, look, you're going to have to face something. The percentages, that which they do repetitively, that which they do most often, is what's going to develop into their character. Let me go on. you judge someone about being positive or them being negative based on how they treat you. If they're positive around you and negative around everybody else, you say they're a positive person. And that's not always necessarily true. As a pastor, there's something I really have to keep an eye on. Most people are positive around me. They don't come. There are people in our church that are critics. They would never let it be done in my presence because they know I disagree with that. I don't think you need to be griping and complaining. But you got to watch out, folks. Just because they were positive around you and they're negative everywhere else, that does not make them a positive person. Not at all. That's self-centered judgment. And you watch now. They talk positive about you, but negative about others. So they're a positive person. I'm very sorry. That does not stack up. That does not. Or get this. They're negative around or about you, but they're positive about everybody else. So you say, that's just a negative person. But you're the only person that they're negative about. How does it make it that they're negative when they're negative about you, but they're positive about 99 other people, but they're a negative person? Now, your problem is you're your biggest concern. The Bible says we're to deny ourselves. The Bible says that we're to give up our life. And so, when the Bible talks about, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel shall find it. You know, you say, does that mean I should die for Jesus Christ? What it means is die to your feelings. Anybody could take a bullet for Jesus and be dead just like that. But what you need to do is die to your emotions and your feelings all day long, every day, so you're not offended by everybody all the time. That's what it's talking about. So I should not make a determination about someone's character based on just how they treat me. If they're good to me and bad to everybody else, well, I want to say they're a good person. Oh, but if they're bad to me and good to everybody else, I want to say they're a bad person. And folks, we are so self-centered in the human race that we want, and that's why there's some of you, you'll talk bad about someone. And there will be people that won't listen to what you say because they've seen the other side of that person. You just want to vent about your attitude and your position and how they treated you. But the truth is, they're good to a lot of other people. Let me go on. You judge whether someone is friendly or unfriendly on the basis of how they treat you. If they're friendly to you and they're a snob to everybody else, you say, they are just not friendly, or they are friendly. But it's always based on how they treat you. So they're friendly to you. They snub everybody else. And you're going to say, this is one of some of the most friendly people I've ever met in my life. Just friendly, 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 friendly. But you're the only one they were friendly with. How are they friendly, friendly, friendly? That's self-centered judgment. They talk and greet you happily and talk and greet nobody else. But they're just good, friendly people. Or we go to the other side of it. They snub you. They don't shake your hand. They're not kind to you. But they're friendly with everybody else. And so your opinion is they're just snobs. They're just some of the most unfriendly people you have ever met in your life. They talk and greet everybody else. They missed you. So you're just irritated. But remember, folks, you've got to get yourself out of the center of your own bullseye. You need to stop worrying about how people treat you. Start worrying about how you treat others. I've learned in life that one of the biggest things for us to learn to do is look at the big picture. Look at the big picture. Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Now, folks, I believe this. I think we ought to all be friendly. You know, I think we ought to be friendly to everybody. Now, notice I did not say we ought to be best friends with everybody, because I don't believe that. But I think we ought to be friendly to everybody. And look, if somebody misses you, or if maybe there's the possibility that Your personalities clash. Yeah, and I hate this. But every once in a while in the church, you see two people coming in, and you know, they see one another coming, and they do this. You know? And it shouldn't be that way. And you shouldn't act that way. But let me tell you something. If you're one of them, don't assassinate their character to everybody else. You might be the only one in the church that does that with them. That means 99 other people, they're very friendly, very kind, they're very good, they're very generous. You say, but they ought to get along with me. Hey, if you're doing a lot of this, and you're wishing everybody would get right with God, you see who the common denominator is? Okay, so, if you remember the story, they said of Micaiah, I don't like him. He doth not prophesy good concerning me. Nobody else had that opinion about that preacher, but that one did. Now, and I'm proud of Jehoshaphat, because Jehoshaphat said, well, you don't say. He felt that way about you? I can't believe it. We judge a person's goodness or badness in life based on how they treat us. We judge someone's hatefulness or love based on how they treat us. We judge someone's generosity or stinginess based on how they treat us. You judge someone whether they're positive or negative based on how they treat us. We judge someone's friendliness or unfriendliness based on what did we get out of it. I've had to learn to be able to survive and not find myself wanting to cower and hide and run in life. I've had to decide that if someone does not like me, that does not make that someone bad. Do you know somebody could dislike me, but that doesn't make them a bad person? See, you think if they don't like you, they have to be a bad person. That's not so. You're not the focal point of life. Everything does not rotate around you. Now, in your thinking, it does. He said, this guy does not prophesy good about me. I hate him. You know what he wanted? He wanted Jehoshaphat to feel the same way about Micaiah as Ahab did. And I'm glad Jehoshaphat said, I'm not going to take the bait. I am not going to let your tainted attitude ruin somebody else. There's some of you in here. If you're not careful, as our church grows, there's going to be somebody that's going to taint your attitude about somebody else, and it's going to be totally unjust, and it's going to be totally unfair. And it's because those two people did not click, so they're going to pass on the negatives when they should have never done anything like that. Hey, there are people out there that don't like me. You know something? As far as I know, they're decent people. Just because somebody does not like me, that does not make them a bad person. Now, I got to tell you, they're wrong about me, because to know me is to love me. If you had been as visual as I have been for years, there are people out there that hate me. I don't even know them. But you want to know something? I don't hate the people that hate me, because I'm not the issue. And you can ask anybody that knows me. You're not on. There are people that get irritated with me. I have no blacklist. None. There are people that don't like me, but I like them. There are people that don't like me, and they are good people. Look, if I'm the only one that they don't like out of everybody in the world, does that make them bad? No. Don't say amen too much here, Brother Edwards. But I'm telling you, there's some of you, there's somebody that does not like you, and as a result of it, they're bad, they're written off forever, they're nasty, and you'll tell everybody. How's that fair? You know, there's something about all of us that's dislikable. All of us. See, what somebody thinks of you does not determine what they are. And look, I'm not for hatefulness. I'm not for stinginess. I'm not for I'm not condoning any of the negative attitude. I'm just saying we ought to be careful not to pass an improper judgment on somebody strictly on the basis of how it affects me, how they affect me. What did I get out of it? What did they do for me? What did they not do for me? Folks, me, mine, my, I always get you in trouble. So, is it possible that somebody could dislike you and that person still be a good person? And for some of you, that just won't calculate in your brain. But as you grow as a Christian, you're going to need to let it. You're going to need to let it make a difference. Now, Jehoshaphat and Ahab had a conversation. And what a conversation. One attacks someone, I'm glad the other was wise enough to see past it. Just be careful. We can help people by controlling our improper judgments. If there's any phrase that I would like for you to remember in this sermon, it's this. I call it, self-centered judgment is unfair. Self-centered judgment is unfair. Yeah, have you ever had someone describe another to you and you're expecting to meet just a tyrant and you meet him and you're thinking, wow, they're a really kind, generous, good person. What happened? Self-centered judgment got the best of somebody. And then we're unfair to people and we hurt people. Let's not spend our lives on character assassination. That's assassinating the character of another. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You've heard the sermon tonight. I hope for all of us we'll grow because of it. I hope for all of us it will not be unfair to others. Oh, and you know, I guess this is a kind of a grow up kind of a sermon. We need to grow up in our attitudes toward people. And you wonder how someone that's not good to you, somebody else in the church, could be their best friend and get along with them just fine. Well, just because they don't get along with you doesn't mean they don't have the right to have friendships and get along with other people. Self-centered judgment. Who here tonight would say, "Preacher, God has definitely spoken to my heart. I'm challenged, but I've learned something tonight. I want to adopt this attitude in my life, but God has spoken to me." Would you raise your hand and let God see it? God bless you. If you're here tonight, you've never been saved. If you died tonight, you're not sure you go to heaven. If you need the altar, we welcome you to the altar. You come, we'll take a Bible, and we'll show you how to be born again. In a moment, we're going to stand. In a moment, the pianist is going to begin to play. We'll have an altar call. You know, there are some, you might need a moment on your knees. You might need to come up here and say, you know something, I tend to be that way. I make a decision about people. And I've even written some people off. There's some people that are on my blacklist. Oh, others like them, but they can't be good people because of my opinion. Folks, our opinions are tainted. I want to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Self-centered judgment. I don't like them, nobody else should. I'm sorry, that's just not right. They were mean to me, so they're just mean people, not necessarily. And maybe they were mean to you, and I'm not condoning somebody being mean to you, but their being mean to you doesn't mean they're mean to 99 other people. Altar, you come. Ushers, if you'll be ready with the prayer bulletins, and if there are financial statements available, if we need to pass a few of those out and get those ready as well. This is the last time through the song, and we'll be done.